is Nightline. Tonight, DNA detectives, a New York City corporate attorney who police say is also a serial rapist.
This is a person who wouldn't normally show up as a suspect in this type of violent crime.
Appearing in a Boston court with his new fiance, pleading not guilty to a string of violent attacks more than a decade ago.
There was a climate of fear in the city with these attacks that were not solved.
Inside the investigation and how genetic genealogy could hold the key for other unsolved sexual assault cases. Plus, Elliot Page, one of the most visible trans men in Hollywood, now living as his authentic self.
I'm feeling that joy every day. What it has allowed me is what feels like truly being alive for the first time.
Opening up about his childhood pain.
The experiences I had in regards to bullying, it certainly only encourages the shame that literally makes you sick.
And sharing his story at a moment when trans rights are under attack. And heroes salute the World War II veterans returning to Normandy 79 years after D-Day.
Nightline.
Thanks for joining us. We begin tonight with the shocking arrest of a New York City corporate attorney accused in a string of violent sexual assaults that rattled Boston more than a decade ago. Appearing in court with his new fiance, authorities say the suspect, who pleaded not guilty, was tracked down with the help of DNA detective work. Could it help crack other unsolved cases? Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef with the latest installment of our ongoing series, Body of Evidence.
A shocking arrest more than a decade in the making. 35-year-old New York City attorney Matthew Nilo in court 200 miles from his New Jersey home, pleading not guilty to raping three different women and attempting to rape a fourth in Boston 15 years ago.
Aggravated rape and kidnapping on August 18th of 2007. Aggravated rape and kidnapping on November 22nd of 2007. Aggravated rape on August 5th of 2008. Assault with intent to rape and indecent assault and battery in the early morning hours of December 23rd of 2008.
Why do you believe there's been so much interest in this case?
I think it really is concerning for people to realize that there are violent criminals that walk among us, that live what appear to be normal lives.
I've worked a lot of serial rape cases. They tend to be smarter. Sometimes they're attractive. It's interesting that they sometimes just don't fit the stereotype. They come from all walks of life.
Each of his alleged victims immediately reported the assault, but investigators say the DNA collected went unmatched for years.
At the time, police put out an alert to warn people about this. And there was a lot of concerns. There was a climate of fear in the city.
But in 2022, Boston police used DNA from rape kits and checked it against publicly accessible genealogy websites with the hope of finding a match. The result of federal investigation. Agents following Nilo to a corporate event earlier this year.
He was placed under surveillance in early 2023 while living in New Jersey and working at a New York City law firm. FBI agents were able to obtain various utensils and drinking glasses they watched the defendant use at a corporate event.
This arrest accumulates the investigation that employed the use of forensic genealogy. From recovered evidence, all four cases are DNA connected.
At the time of the crimes, Nilo would have been 19 to 21 years old. His attorney arguing bail should be lowered due to Nilo's accomplishments over the years. His new fiance in court during the hearing, clutching rosary beads.
He's gone on to college, law school, he's engaged to be married, has no, from the best of my knowledge, has any history of defaults or any kind of prior convictions in this state or any other state.
He went to the Boston Latin School, one of the premier schools in the state. He had a lot of friends growing up, then went on to college in Wisconsin, and then he went on to law school in San Francisco.
If this started around when he was 20 years old, I would definitely follow to every location where he has spent any time to see if there are any unsolved sexual assaults in those general locations.
Nilo's alleged victims were between 23 and 44 years old at the time of their assaults. Police say three of the women were picked up downtown and driven to an area called Terminal Street, where they were raped.
In the fourth attempted rape case, it was a woman who was out jogging. The Terminal Street area of Charlestown was an industrial area. It's near the waterfront, but there wouldn't have been many people in the area, especially in the early morning hours.
Nilo is the sixth suspect arrested by Boston police since they created a new initiative to solve cold rape cases last year. WCVB investigative reporter Karen Anderson has been covering the slew of arrests since 2022 after the city received a $2.5 million federal grant to send 1,000 rape kits for enhanced testing.
They're going through every single case and making sure that it is all given the same respect and attention that it deserves.
That grant money is part of a wider push nationwide by the Sexual Assault Kit Initiative, which has awarded more than $320 million to state and local jurisdictions and has resolved thousands of cases of sexual assault and homicides since 2015.
They were able to find an outside lab who could take a look at what they had for DNA profiles and see if they could use databases with family trees to try to identify what could be a fifth cousin, fourth cousin, and then try to narrow down on who the perpetrator could be.
Investigative genetic genealogy gained rapid attention after it helped lead to the 2018 arrest of the infamous Golden State Killer, as highlighted in the HBO documentary, I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
He's called the Golden State Killer.
This case is huge.
Michelle would actually go to the crime scene and walk the case.
Geographic connections, DNA profiles, genealogy websites.
There are hundreds of cases where if it wasn't for investigative genetic genealogy, they likely never would have been identified.
Cece Moore is an investigative genetic genealogist whose work has been featured on shows like ABC's The Genetic Detective.
I'm a new kind of detective.
These rape cases happened 15 years ago, and they've been so far unsolved. Can you explain the evolution of forensic genetic genealogy?
When these assaults allegedly happened was at the very inception of genetic genealogy. And then around the year 2010, just a little bit after these crimes happened, we started helping people solve more recent identity mysteries, such as adoption or donor conception. And that is really what laid the groundwork for investigative genetic genealogy and for being able to work with law enforcement to identify these violent criminals.
Moore says she and her team have helped law enforcement solve more than 270 cases using investigative genetic genealogy in the last 5 years. And studies found that genetic genealogy has been used to help solve more than 500 crimes around the country. It was also used in the investigation of the recent University of Idaho quadruple murder, the suspect pleading not guilty on all charges.
Law enforcement sources telling ABC News they identified suspect Brian Koberger by linking DNA evidence from the crime scene to a public genealogy database.
But the methodology has legal limitations.
Investigative genetic genealogy can only create a theory about the potential identity of that person of interest. And then the rest is up to law enforcement to take that tip and determine what it means and whether this is someone that they should then put under investigation and collect their DNA to compare against that court admissible profile.
Is investigative genetic genealogy admissible in court?
Investigative genetic genealogy is not being treated as evidence in a court of law. It's merely a tip that points law enforcement in the right direction.
While some DNA companies openly provide evidence to police, some of the larger ones do not, citing privacy concerns.
There's a big misconception out there that law enforcement is able to compare against the profiles in Ancestry DNA and 23andMe, but we're not allowed to use those. They have terms of service that bar law enforcement's access.
Some people believe it's a violation of their privacy, because the reality is if you sign up for a genealogy database, you're obviously trying to figure out your history, figure out where you came from and where your family came from.
Nilo's attorney argues his client's privacy was violated when FBI agents confiscated that drinking glass he used at a corporate event.
It seems that they obtained DNA evidence without ever obtaining a search warrant. If that turns out to be true, that's an issue that will be pursued vigorously.
Nilo is scheduled to go on trial next year. Boston investigators vowing to pursue all further cold rape cases in the meantime.
Matthew Nilo is this well-known case right now, but behind all of these unsolved cases is a person who has gone to a hospital and undergone a sexual assault examination. Behind each of these rape kits is a person, a victim.
Our thanks to Ariel. Up next, Oscar-nominated actor Elliot Page opening up about his childhood, coming out, and why he says now is the moment to stand up for trans visibility.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Month is underway, and some of this year's celebrations are being met with backlash, specifically against the trans community. But it's a debate Elliot Page is unwilling to accept.
I know.
Okay, we're good.
There's no debate to trans people's existence. Full stop. It's not a debate. We're real. To debate our existence continuously over and over again, I think it's appalling.
Actor Elliot Page is taking a stand for trans visibility just 2.5 years after coming out, instantly becoming one of the most visible trans men in Hollywood. His first break in 2007 with an Oscar nomination for the Oscar-nominated comedy Juno.
Dude, I think it's best to just tell him. I'm pregnant.
The nominees for Best Motion Picture are Juno.
What should have been a moment of triumph and joy, a tarnished memory because of what Page was asked to wear to the premiere.
Yeah, that whole Juno time, that was quite the time.
I was planning on wearing jeans and a Western-ish shirt to Juno's world premiere. They said I should wear a dress and heels.
Now Page is sharing his story in a candid new memoir and audiobook, Page Boy.
I used to find it and still find it tricky to talk about because it's not like someone was like forcing, you know, clothing on my physical body, but that is what it felt like.
So I put on the dresses and the makeup. I did the photo shoots. I was struggling with depression and having panic attacks so bad I would collapse. I was incapable of articulating the depth of pain I was in.
I think with gender dysphoria, it's, you know, being assigned a gender at birth based on your genitalia, and that not being the reality of who you are. I think it especially became complicated as an actor because people would just go, you're an actor, like just put on the clothes, you know? But needless to say, it was so much more than that.
Growing up in Nova Scotia, Canada, Page says he questioned his gender from an early age.
Can I be a boy? I asked my mother at 6 years old. No, hon, you can't. You're a girl, my mother responded. It was unfathomable to me that I wasn't a boy. Everyone around me saw a different person than I saw.
I wasn't growing up in a progressive atmosphere by any means, and you know, the situation my mom was in, minister's daughter, born in 1954, she was you know, doing her best. She didn't know what to do.
At 10, people started addressing me as a boy. Having won a year-long battle to cut my hair short, I started to get a thanks, bud, when holding the door for someone at the Halifax Shopping Center.
I was lucky to have a mom that even, like, let me get to that place at 10 to look like how I did, but I could sense her discomfort. I could sense her embarrassment.
As I aged, the pressure from my mother to alter my appearance began to increase alongside the bullying at school. I tried. My mom's joy and relief faded to disappointment as I began to return to my original state.
When my, you know, body started to change and clothes sat on me differently and all of that was the beginning of really sort of, you know, disconnecting from myself and feeling a degree of discomfort that was very erosive and damaging. The experiences I had in regards to bullying, it certainly only encourages the shame that literally makes you sick.
Decades later, in 2020, 33-year-old Paige announcing he's transgender.
I was able to finally make the steps and the decision to be myself and to do what I wanted to do and knew I needed to do to live fully. And I'm feeling that joy every day. What it has allowed me is what feels like truly being alive for the first time.
Paige's art, mirroring his life, his character in the Netflix series The Umbrella Academy, also coming out as transgender.
Who elected you, Vanya?
It's Victor.
Who's Victor?
I am. It's who I've always been.
The experience with Umbrella Academy and playing Victor has been such a true gift.
His family's love also evolving.
I never believed a time would come when I'd be able to have these talks with my mother. In the end, it was she who initiated the conversation. She was ready and so was I. We've never been closer. She'd become my ally. She loves her son endlessly. I feel really, really grateful to see her change and her growth, that people's minds change and hearts change, and that's why we need to be talking about this.
Paige harnessing the power of storytelling, sharing his truth with the world.
I want people to know that there is this feed of lies and misinformation that dehumanizes us, that debates our existence, that lies about our healthcare. We've always been here. We'll continue to be here.
So here I am, grateful and terrified, writing directly to you. The truth is, in many ways, my narrative is still unfolding. It's all just beginning. Let me just exist with you, happier than ever.
Elliot Page's memoir, Page Boy, is available now wherever books are sold. And you can stream our full ABC News special, The Freedom to Exist, a Soul of a Nation presentation on Hulu. Up next, the D-Day heroes and their return to Normandy 79 years later.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
And finally tonight, The Greatest Generation, who risked it all. Here's ABC's David Muir.
Tonight, the images from Normandy. World War II veterans returning on the 79th anniversary of D-Day. Their salutes. 43 World War II veterans flying to Normandy, invited by Delta Airlines and the Best Defense Foundation. The local school children greeting them when they got there, waving American flags. Army Staff Sergeant Jake Larson.
Here I am, 100 years old. No aches, no pains.
Our thanks to David. That's Nightline. You can watch all of our full episodes on Hulu. We'll see you right back here same time tomorrow. Thanks for staying up with us. Good night, America.